It's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. Email address anything@kera.org, or you can send me a tweet at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. It's Friday, the 31st of July. We're right in the middle of this Texas summer. So hopefully you're in a cool place today and can call us or email us with your questions or answers, or send me a tweet. Starting off today, Joseph says, I just noticed a wild flock, 20 plus or so, of green parrots in the trees of the Neiman Marcus parking lot on Northwest Highway. Does anyone know their history? Wild, native, formerly domesticated, turned wild. He says, I was fascinated to see them here in Dallas. Give us a call, 800-933-5372. Liz emailed us from Denton. Often, she says, every time, she means, I go to the grocery store in the parking lot. I see people put their shopping carts up on the grassy medians, sometimes even right next to a cart stall. She says, at first I thought it was laziness, but I've watched people do it. It seems to take a lot of extra effort to get it up on the curb, even more than taking it back to the stall. Why are folks doing this? 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. We got a question from John in Dallas, who says, I've inherited some beautiful large wooden speakers for a stereo system from my late uncle a couple of years ago. While they're not a brand name, he says they do have a beautiful sound and they look cool too. The problem is my aunt and uncle had cats and dogs in their house for 40 years, and they probably smoked for about 30 years. He says, I only notice the musty smell when I've been out of town for a few days, but I'm sure visitors notice it every time they walk into our house. I don't want our house to smell like this. As you might imagine, what's the best way to deodorize these speakers? He says, I've tried taking them outside for an afternoon or two on a decent day, as well as Febreze, but neither are cutting it. I'm afraid I'm going to have to get rid of them. Does anybody know? 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. And let's start with an answer today from Dan in Kaufman. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Jeff. I got an answer for John on his speakers.
Okay.
I've been a musician for many years, and I used to play the smoky bars. My clothes would just reek when I'd get out of there, so I found that if I hang them on the line for a couple of days, it takes the smell completely out. So I suggest he set them out in the sun and the breeze for several days, protecting them from the moisture, and I think he'll find that'll take care of it.
Okay, it's just going to take a few more days, maybe.
Yeah, I might have to do a little disassembly.
Cool. Hey, thanks for calling, Dan.
Take care.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything@kera.org. Gary in Denton says, there's a street sign at the southeast corner of Mulberry and Welch Street on the UNT campus in Denton that says, Epileptic Crossing. Just wondering what the explanation is, as there are no medical facilities near that location. I thought about this, Gary, and we'll get an answer from somebody, I'm sure, that confirms it or adds to it. But I think if you have a medical condition, or if you are a person that's differently abled, so if you're a hearing impaired person, or you have a hearing impaired child, or you're seeing impaired, or you have a seeing impaired child, and maybe even if you or a family member suffers from epilepsy, you can actually get a street sign put up, in your street, I believe. I mean, I've seen street signs that say, like caution signs for a blind child, for example, in a neighborhood. So maybe that's the answer. Maybe there's somebody who has this issue or suffers from this issue, and that's why that sign is there, but somebody will know. We got an email from someone who says, I can't speak for people who park their carts near a corral, but in other areas, the carts often get placed on grass or dirt areas to keep them from rolling on the concrete where they could potentially damage vehicles. So that makes sense. I mean, people do it so they don't roll, I guess, around and hit other cars and stuff. But that's what the cart corral is for, right? 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org or send me a tweet at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's talk next to Mike in Denton County. Hey, Mike.
Hi. Yes, I'm in unincorporated Denton County, a bit west of Frisco. And I have leftover oil-based paint, thinner, mm-hmm. and varnish that I need to get rid of. And the county does not have a program for this except once a year in April. And I just wondered if anyone would know how I could properly dispose of these things.
Okay. Well, we'll see if somebody has an answer for you. My first thought would be maybe call the paint store and see if they'll take it. You know, because it sounds like you can't take it to the municipal hazardous collection location because you're not in the municipality.
That's right.
That's one lead. Maybe check the paint store and see if they'll take it or paint stores, and then we'll see if we get some answers for you.
Thanks. I'll try that. I'll listen.
All right. Thanks for calling. Line open, 800-933-5372. Up next is Dylan in Fort Worth. Hey, Dylan.
Hey there.
Go right ahead.
I had a question about a restaurant on University Drive in Fort Worth.
Okay.
I wanted to know why the restaurant Sol de Luna, it's a Venezuelan/Mexican restaurant, closed down recently in the middle of the summer. It's one of my favorite places to go eat during the day, and it seems like it just closed down out of nowhere.
Hmm. Okay. Well, we'll see if somebody knows. Tell us again, where was it located?
It's by Texas Christian University on University Drive.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if we get an answer for you.
Thank you very much.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Let's see. We got an email here from Harold, who asks, has anyone used the IRS penalty forgiveness program? How did it work out? Would you recommend it? Does anybody have any advice in relation to the IRS penalty forgiveness program? Let's see. This is from Rick, who emailed us and says, while driving through my neighborhood, I frequently encounter members of the squirrel population. Not wanting to damage relations between the species, I try to dodge. The squirrel also makes adjustments. My attempts to avoid are less than successful. My question is, if I did nothing, would the squirrel accurately navigate the crossing? I'm assuming in front of my car. And we had this conversation on the show before. And I think, you know, that sometimes in the spring, people want to know, why are the squirrels so crazy? Well, I think that's just spring fever. Why are they acting so crazy? And now, if you notice, there's lots of smaller squirrels. So those are the young'uns who are down out of the squirrel's nest, and they're trying to figure out how to get across the roads and stuff. But somebody told us once on the show that squirrels run in straight lines. So they run in straight lines from point to point. And I have to deal with this a lot, you know, riding a bike or whatever, a squirrel. You know that squirrel's going to run right out in front of you. So we'll see if we can get further illumination on squirrel-human relations, or at least an answer to that question. If you don't dodge and weave in your car, is the squirrel going to successfully navigate the crossing? 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's talk next to Brady in Corsicana. Hello, Brady.
Yes. Hi.
Hi there.
Yeah, I wanted to identify those parrots. Those are Quaker parrots. They're also called muck parrots, and they were brought over from South America.
Brady, I think we lost you, but at least we got the most of your answer, I hope. We also got an email on this from Kelly, who says the large flocks of green parrots seen in many urban areas, including several parts of the Metroplex, are not hallucinations. They are escapees or descendants of escaped pets. This popular pet species is the monk parakeet, native to the savannas of Central South America. They nest in self-built stick, straw, and grass colonial condos, usually built into utility structures. I think we got that one. If somebody else has something on that, call us 800-933-5372 or email us anything at kera.org. Let's see. We'll take this question one more time from Graham. We asked it last week near the end of the hour, but Graham's looking for a good repair facility for vintage radio audio equipment in the Cleburne, Burleson, Fort Worth area. He has a vintage acoustic research tuner amplifier that has a problem with the volume control. So anybody have a tip for Graham? And we've asked it a couple of times, so if we don't get an answer this time, Graham, I guess we'll be out of luck. Let's see. We got a a question from, actually, we got an answer from Gary, who says, no, this is actually from Sean, who's answering Gary about the epilepsy sign in Denton. And Sean says, yes, my friend was the one who actually got that sign put up in Denton. He suffers from epilepsy, and after so many years with seizures in random places, for his safety, that sign was requested for him. So there you go. Wow. I guess we can, should we just call it a day? I mean, we got one. I'm kidding. No, thanks. Thanks, Sean, for that email. 800-933-5372 is the number to call us. Email us anything at KERA.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's talk next to Bruce calling from Plano. Hello, Bruce.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
Almost speaker.
Yeah.
He needs to go get some Autobahn and also get Smoke Be Gone.
Okay.
Mix those two together, take the speakers outside, and activate them. And I assume those are wooden speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Once the sun dries them back out, then he needs to go ahead and get a can of sealer and spray the outside with satin or clear sealer. And that'll stop the smoke.
Okay. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So, you know, we always caution if it's like a furniture quality piece of wood, you want to test a spot first with any kind of chemical. And then I wonder, my question then would be, you know, if you seal them, would that change the sound? If they sound really good, the cabinets, you know. Well, this is probably going to be the most popular question today. Julie tweeted me and says, sounds odd, but wrap the speakers in newspaper for a couple of days. Remove and repeat until the scent is gone. So that's Julie on Twitter's recommendation. We got an email from Jessica who says, in terms of the speakers, he should sprinkle baking soda on the speakers and let that sit outside. After a few days, vacuum them and the odor will be gone. We got from Tom in Dallas. Tom says, all vac on Lover's Lane sells an aerosol product that kills the cigarette smell permanently called Smoke Out. So there's a place on Lover's called All Vac. And then we got an answer on this from Tina, who says, I suggest spraying the speaker foam with vinegar and Febreze. Wipe the wood down with tung oil or an orange-based oil, not just wood polish, but a restorative oil. And let's see, one more from Brooke. He should use a vinegar and olive oil mixture to get the smell out, and then you can sprinkle whatever's left on your salad. Brooke says, Brooke didn't write sprinkle it on your salad. That was my editorial comment. But Brooke says it's usually 40 to 60% ratio, vinegar and olive oil. So bunch of speaker restoration answers. Also got a question from Haley who says, my boyfriend is from Maine. We live in Denton now, and I'd like to take him to some good natural and Texas wildlife parks. Haley says, I'm from Mineral Wells, and we just went to the state park there. He loved it and had seen nothing like it, so I'm looking for something similar. This is the most popular kind of question we get, Haley, so I'm sure we'll get some suggestions for you and your boyfriend from Maine to see the beauty of Texas. Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org or send me a tweet at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Whatever you do, stay tuned because more of your questions and answers coming up. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas. I'm Jeff Whittington. The key to getting your question or answer on the show is to call us, 800-933-5372. You can also email us anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. So we got this in the inbox from Kelly in Fort Worth. This is about Sol Luna, the restaurant. And Kelly says, all I know is that the eatery went out of business several months ago and is being replaced by Salas Limon. They currently have a food truck by the cellar on Barry and another location on University across from the Modern. Not sure when it will officially open, though. We got the vintage audio repair answer for our listener in Cleburne. Chris says, check out Fort Worth Audio over on Vickery Boulevard in Fort Worth. So there's a lead for, was it Graham in Cleburne? I think so. Fort Worth Audio on West Vickery Boulevard in Fort Worth. Let's see. Got a question from someone who says, I have a side-by-side refrigerator that went without power for 5 days, so all the meat on the freezer side went bad. This listener says, I've cleaned it with baking soda, Clorox, and used Lysol. It's clean, but it still smells inside. Is there anything that will save it? This is the How to Get Smells Out of Things live for an hour on KERA today. No, seriously, this is a good... We've gotten this question before, and, you know, like a vinegar water mixture has been recommended. We'll see what the audience says. If you had to deal with this, the bad meat smell in your freezer, give us a call. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Back to the phones to a very patient Mark calling from Dallas. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Jeff. How you doing today?
Doing well.
Good. Hey, I'm got an answer on the guy who's calling about disclosing his oil-based paint or varnish. Yeah. And I'm a professional painter, so that's always a concern, trying to make sure you get rid of that stuff. A couple of suggestions. You know, one, of course, you know, most cities have their household hazardous waste programs that you can find online. They'll have disposal dates and locations. But failing that, you know, once a paint is dry, it can be disposed of in the trash as normal. Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes what I'll do is on a, if I have a little extra time on a, you know, hot summer day, is put out maybe an old sheet, you know, maybe on top of a piece of plywood or some plastic sheeting, just spread it in the driveway, and I'll pour it out so it's nice and thin, and sun dries it up within a few hours, and just crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
Very good. All right. Thanks, Mark.
And sometimes there's some paint stores also will sell an additive you can buy, and you can dump in a bucket of paint, and it's supposed to dry it up. And then once it's dry, you can dispose of it.
Oh, thanks for calling.
All right. Okay. Thanks.
Up next, 800-933-5372 is David in Dallas. Hello, David.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
I'm calling about the squirrel dilemma.
Yeah.
Squirrels evolved this to avoid birds of prey who dive in a straight line. The last minute, they'll reverse themselves. And cars move in a straight line, too. Unfortunately, cars are a lot bigger than birds of prey, so they'll run from, you know, your left wheel and go right into your right wheel.
Right.
They do respond to horns. Just lean on the horn, apologize to your neighbors afterward, and they'll always scoot away. If not, they'll run right into your tires one out of four times.
Yeah, because we do see a lot of flattened squirrels this time of year.
Yeah, it's awful.
Sure.
I mean, they're real cute. And just lean on your horn. They respond to that because eagles and hawks never use their horns.
All right. Thanks, David.
Sure.
All right. Let's see. Let's get an answer on this from Carl in Dallas. Hello, Carl.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey there.
Comment about the squirrels and also about the meat smell in the guy's refrigerator.
Okay.
We've all noticed how the squirrels will all of a sudden stop in the middle of the road and seem like they're going back and forth trying to figure out what's going on. My observation is that the road of life is paved with flat little squirrels that couldn't make up their minds.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I mean, they,
you know,
they don't do well against the cars.
Anyhow, for the meat odor in the refrigerator,
yeah,
get yourself a bag of natural lump charcoal and put it in there and close the door, and in a few days it will absorb that odor. I had a guy, tenant, leave a bunch of shrimp in the refrigerator for about 3 weeks before we realized what had happened, and it sucked that odor out of there pretty, I mean, you couldn't tell there was anything
now,
ever in there.
Now, do you leave the refrigerator on with the charcoal in it?
Yeah, leave it. I leave it on, but leave the door closed.
Right, close the door.
It'll soak up that odor.
Even cold,
you know,
even cold.
Activated charcoal is considered an odor remover. It's used in all kinds of commercial and circumstances. So Yeah, a lump charcoal, regular, not the charcoal briquettes,
right.
The regular lump charcoal. Put the bag in there, open the bag, you know, slice it open, put it in there, and leave it. It might take a week or two, but it'll suck it up.
Great. Hey, thanks for calling.
Okay. Right. Y'all have a good day.
You
thanks
too.
For your show.
Let's see. Let's get one more answer on this from Scott in Dallas. Hello, Scott.
Chris was correct about Fort Worth Audio.
Okay.
Those employees came from Marvin Electronics and started their own fix-it shop.
Very good.
And the gentleman with the speakers?
Yeah.
He should buy some Murphy's wood soap. He should give them a good cleaning twice. The smell will remain in the fabric of the grill. He might want to call Freeman Tool. Because you can't just remove that and send
right.
it to the dry cleaners.
Right. Okay.
You're the best.
Freeman Tool Speaker Repair on Ferguson Road in Dallas, I believe.
Affirmative.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott.
Bye.
Appreciate your call. Bye. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Let's see. Kelly says, the squirrels... behavior is a hardwired predator avoidance skill perfected over thousands of years. Those crazy, unpredictable zigzags work incredibly well against descending hawks, but not so much for the newfangled car. And Dennis confirms, easiest solution is a friendly tap on the horn, just like that friendly tap on the horn we've talked about when the car in front of you is texting at the stoplight. So we'll just all friendly tap on the horn at the squirrels and at the distracted drivers around us, and everybody will get along, and the squirrels will live. The squirrels will live. Let's see. This is from Logan, who emailed us about the parks question for the listener with a boyfriend from Maine. Logan says, Fossil Rim is 2 or 3 hours southwest of DFW. The scenery is beautiful, and it has animals from the African savanna. You can feed from your car. Just watch out for the ostriches, Logan says. They even have zebras. He says, here's some tips on don't feed the zebras because their jaws are famously strong, or at least not from hand. So Logan's recommendation is Fossil Rim. Let's see. We got an answer on the paint from Nancy, who says, extra paint can be donated to Habitat for Humanity. It will either be used on a house or mixed with other paints and sold at a restore. So that's a really great suggestion because they can mix a bunch of white paints together, right? And Trey emailed us and says, I was wearing a leather jacket while working with some fiberglass ceiling insulation, and I believe I got some in my jacket. Now, whenever I wear it, my skin becomes irritated. My question is, does anyone know how to clean the inside of the jacket to fix this problem? 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Up next on the phone, let's talk to Faye in Dallas. Hello, Faye. Hello, Faye.
Hi. Hey, yes. There. I think I may have an answer for the guy with the penalty forgiveness from IRS.
Okay.
IRS does not forgive anything, but you can file what I believe is a Form 843, which is an abatement for interest and penalty. But you have to explain why you don't think you owe the interest or penalty. But he can go online and just check and see if that's the right number. But I do believe it's 843 because I have filed it before.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for calling, Faye.
Sure.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email, of course, always open, anything at kera.org. Also got you can tweet me as well, at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Got this from Jay, who says, the bad meat smell was a huge problem after Katrina. Try activated charcoal and lots of time. And Marianne concurs, charcoal is great at removing smells from cars, refrigerators, etc. Marianne says on Twitter, it works. Ryan in Denton says, for organic-based smells, such as the collar with the freezer, enzyme cleaners are the way to go. Pet stores are usually the best supplier for those. Sunlight will often help as well, as the UV radiation will break down the molecules which we smell. The other side of that coin is that the UV light can also damage whatever it is you're leaving in the sun. Most notably, dyes are broken down, causing fading. For furniture, Ryan says, such as the speakers, walls, or floors, sealants can make a world of difference, but they need to be oil-based sealants rather than water-based. And as always, test on anything which will be visible before using on a large surface. Let's see. Bunch of answers on the refrigerator smells. Let's see. Laurie says, to keep odors under control in the refrigerator, place a few scoops of fresh coffee grounds in a small, shallow dish and change about once a month. That sounds like an ongoing maintenance thing. Once you get the charcoal, once you get the rotten meat smell out, the coffee grounds is a pretty good idea. Let's see. This is from Gene, who says, I live in an apartment complex, and my kids decided to play with some oil-based paint and left a lot of residue and marks, handprints, and footprints on the floor. I want to remove it totally so my apartment doesn't charge me for it. Does anybody have a suggestion? Probably, I don't know. Maybe you can strip it, but that might also mess up the floor. Mineral-based spirits, maybe, but not if it's dry. I'm assuming it's probably dry. We'll see if we get an answer for you on that. And Mike wants to know what the purpose of the short black plastic, he says it's kind of like garbage bag material, fences that are around construction areas. These are typically a foot or so tall. I'll take this one. It's an erosion control barrier, which is now required, I believe, when construction is happening. And someone can fill us in on the details, but you have to have erosion control to keep dirt and other debris from washing into the storm sewers. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington. Let's talk next on the phone to Bill in Euless. Hello, Bill.
Jeff, hi, how are you?
Doing well.
I've got an answer for the guy. Been looking for a vintage AM/FM receiver repair shop. I've used a shop called Gunter, G-U-N-T-E-R, mm-hmm. up in Westport Worth on Camp Bowie, in that old section. Store's been there since, well, I think Dad opened it in the 1930s. These guys mm-hmm. are old school and can fix this receiver. They fixed my 25-year-old Yamaha. They were reasonable, and it's just a great place to go.
Great. Bill, thanks for calling.
You bet.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. You can also tweet me at Jeff Whittington on the Twitter. Paul emailed asking, what are those electric skateboards I've recently seen around downtown? He says they go real fast and look like they are controlled by leaning your body. I've seen a lot of the Segway tours downtown in Dallas recently. I haven't seen electric skateboards or motorized skateboards. Maybe somebody knows. And we'll give us a call. And we got an email from Robin in Richardson who says, on the freezer odor, charcoal will do a good job. Do not use bleach. The bleach will permeate the plastic inside, and it will always smell like a mix of bleach and rotten meat. And Robin Richardson says, I speak from experience. So charcoal, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Question, can you use the charcoal for charcoaling once you've used it for odor control? That's another question that just leaps to mind. I was really curious. Do you want to leave it warm in the freezer? Like, will the activated charcoal work better if the freezer is turned off, A? And then would you want to use the charcoal after it's absorbed the rotten meat smell? No. I don't know. Somebody will know. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Natasha in Frisco. Hello, Natasha.
Hi.
Hey there.
I was wondering if anyone in that area knows if there is a place where you can have your own custom perfume blended.
Hmm. Well, you've asked. We'll see if somebody knows.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. Let's talk next at 800-933-5372 to Rita in Flower Mound. Hello, Rita.
Hello.
Hi there.
I have an answer for the woman who had the meat fall in her freezer mm-hmm. and spoiled, and now it smells. I got this idea I tried everything when that happened to me, and I got the idea I'm going to tell you about from my parents when they had a squirrel die in the wall of their closet, and they couldn't get the smell out, and they finally, after trying everything, called an exterminator, and he told them to put, and I did this in the refrigerator, get narrow, very, well, you want to put it in very shallow, but you want as much air, surface space as you can in glass, like a cake pan or something, but mm-hmm. several of them, and put pure ammonia that you get from the drugstore, not the cleaner, but the ammonia, and put about a half inch in every pan or glass dish that you can find. Then, first of all, of course, clean the refrigerator, but she's done that. Then put it, then shut up the doors and seal it well with painter tape or some kind of tape, but painter tape, as you know, is easiest to get off. And leave it. And I think mm-hmm. I left it. I think my parents left theirs for over a week, sealed up the closet. But I left mine, I think, for about 3 days. When I opened it up and, you know, aired out the ammonia, and be careful you don't burn your eyes or get children get near
yeah,
that.
Yeah, be very careful. Very careful.
Very, very careful.
I got to open the windows maybe.
That gets every bit of the odor out. And I guess the exterminator said it helps the decomposition of the organic material.
Huh.
It decomposes it very rapidly. But it worked. My refrigerator smelled like new.
Wow. Okay. Well, it sounds like something to be very, very careful doing, too. And
very
and
careful.
I would
maybe even... I had little children at the time.
Okay.
But I was very, very careful. I, you know, didn't have them in the house whenever right. I worked with it.
Yeah, I would probably... Thanks for calling, Rita.
Okay.
I would probably open the windows and turn on the Ventahood, right, on high as well when you're working with that. Well, more questions, more answers... We've still got time this hour. Give us a call at 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org or send me a tweet. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Stay with us. We'll be back in about 2.5 minutes. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our phone number is 800-933-5372. Email address anything at kera.org, or you can send me a tweet at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Ruvel emailed us and says, my 2-year-old daughter loves bunny rabbits, and I'm trying to find a petting zoo that has bunny rabbits around DFW. Any suggestions there? Samuel says, for the listener with the meat in the fridge spoiled smell, you might want to try an ozone generator or ozone machine. He says, we have one that we've used on a few fridges, cars, and houses, and it's worked pretty well for us. Let's see. And we got an email from Chase who asks, is it illegal to conduct a hoax if nobody gets hurt and no profit is made? Is it illegal to lie to a large group of people for fun? We'll see what the audience has to say about it. 800-933-5372. Up next on the phone, let's talk to Mary in Dallas. Hello, Mary.
Hi, Jeff. I have a suggestion to the young lady who called in about state parks that her boyfriend might like. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to suggest Palo Duro Canyon. It's not that far, and it's absolutely gorgeous. Right now, it's probably a little hot. But if
probably.
They planned, huh?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, but in the fall, it's just beautiful up there. And Canyon is a lovely little town. They have a wonderful museum there, the Panhandle Museum that's up there, bed and breakfast, and that would be a wonderful kind of getaway for them. The canyon, I just can't express in words. Have you ever been there yourself?
You know what? I have not been there, and it is on my list. I'm ashamed to admit, but it's. I'm fascinated by the history too. It was the last, the last stronghold of the Comanches before they were finally, you know, relocated forcibly onto reservations in Oklahoma. And it's apparently just a most amazing place.
It is. It's beautiful. They have deer population at the bottom and another kind of deer population at the top, and they also have little cabins that you can rent if you wanted to.
Great.
I've only been there once, but I'm definitely going back often.
Great suggestion, Mary. Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
All right. Up next, let's talk to Phyllis calling from Dallas. Hello, Phyllis.
Well, hi. How
hi
are
there.
You?
Doing great.
I think I have two answers. One is about the carts left in the grassy part of a parking lot. I use a walker and a cane, and I am always grateful to find a cart that is near my car, especially I do park in handicap, mm-hmm. and I'm very grateful if there is a cart available.
So it's a good thing sometimes.
But,
sometimes it's a good thing.
My other answer is, I affirm the coffee ground solution for freezers. I've used it twice, once many, many years ago when the refrigerator that had a freezer that went into storage, and it had food in it. We didn't know that. And so the storage place recommended putting coffee grounds in. Another time I was taking care of a friend's house, and the electricity went off for a couple of days, and, of course, odor. And, again, coffee grounds, much easier than and quicker than charcoal. And I sure wouldn't ever use ammonia. I mean, that's too long. So, anyway, that's my experience.
Phyllis,
thanks very much.
Phyllis, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate it. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org, or you can tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Tanner did that. Tanner says, I'm moving out of a house near White Rock Lake in Dallas. We have a ton of items for the trash. Where is a nearby place for disposal? Tanner, you're close to the Fair Oaks Transfer Station for Dallas Sanitation, and you just have to look it up online. They have various hours, I think like Wednesday mornings and or Wednesdays and Saturdays for residential drop-off, and you just need your driver's license or your you know city utility bill or something to prove your residency, and you can take your bulky trash directly to them there, the Fair Oaks Transfer Station, which isn't far from the White Rock area. It's kind of, you know, it's sort of in the Abrams Walnut Hill area over there, but we'll see if somebody has another answer too. And Mario sends us what he terms the grocery cart answer. Mario says, Jeff, happy Friday. Happy Friday to you, Mario. He says, I am an experienced grocery cart wrangler. I worked through high school and college at different grocery stores. I learned that people with new cars always parked far away from the store and always put their carts on the lawn areas. This is so the wind gusts would not catch the carts and make them run into other people's cars. The grass tends to lock the wheels. The flat surface of parking lots are perfect ramps for speeding rogue carts that could harm vehicles and other people. And as we just heard from Mary, you know, sometimes it's good to have that cart right next to your car or in a place nearby your parking, because if, you know, if you use a cane or a walker and the cart can, you know, sort of be your surrogate walker, that's not a bad thing. So, you know, I gotta say, sometimes I walk out of here feeling better about the world after 48 and a half minutes of your questions and your answers. Thanks for that. I appreciate y'all. Let's go next on the phone at 800-933-5372 to Richa in Addison. Hello, Richa.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well.
So I had an answer to someone asked a question about seeing a lot of electronic skateboards around in Dallas. And
yeah.
I guess, being controlled by body. So was that a question?
It was.
Okay, great. So a few years ago, I actually attended a TEDx conference in Westlake. It was actually organized at the Deloitte University campus there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this guy come from San Francisco, and I don't remember the name of the company right now, but he actually demonstrated that they have this electronic skateboard. So you get onto it, and you also wear a helmet, and then if you wanted to turn right, you wanted to turn left, you just tilt your head in those respective directions. And then if you wanted to go faster, you actually tilt your body forward. And so I'm wondering, it's probably that same prototype that we saw at that time now being commercially launched and available in the market, and people have been using that.
Very good. Well, thanks for calling, Richa.
Sure. Thank you. My pleasure.
Line open 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. Mark emailed us and says the black fence on construction sites is a silt fence used to minimize the discharge of storm water from the site to adjacent streams and municipal sewer systems. The Texas Commission on Environmental Quality requires that the silt fence and other similar controls be used to prevent the discharge of sediment and pollutants from construction sites. So there you go. That sounds like the definitive answer, if I have heard one. Let's see. And Michael confirms, and I think this is the final confirmation we got on this. Michael says, a light tap on the horn is a good way to avoid running over squirrels. It sends them running in the direction they're headed. They tend to run to the last place they felt safe. Even if they're three quarters of the way across the street, they'll turn around, and if that's where safety last was. But the horn tap seems to help them overcome that trait and just get the heck out of the road. So, a friendly tap on the horn, in the spirit of squirrel preservation. Let's talk next on the phone to Evan, calling from Dallas. Hello, Evan.
Hey, Jeff. I was answering about electric skateboards.
Yeah. Yes, go right ahead. You've got one?
Yeah. It goes around 15 miles an hour, and it's controlled by Bluetooth on my phone.
Wow. So how long have you had it?
I've had it about a couple months, not too long. It's like a regular skateboard. You lean the turn, and you have a throttle connected to an app on your phone, and it goes around 15 miles an hour and goes about 18 miles before the battery runs out.
Wow. All right. Well, hey, the future's here, so we'll get jetpacks next, right?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling, Evan. Let's see. Up next, let's talk to Trevor, calling from Plano. Hello, Trevor.
Hey, Jeff. How's it going?
It's going well.
Hey, listen, I got a quick question. I'm old school, so I've got all of these cassettes with really, really great music on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to get those transferred to on a CD. And most of the stuff that I see in the stores, electronic stores, they don't do a very good job. So I wonder if there was anyone in this area, you know, DFW area, that can do that for me.
At
a reasonable price.
Sure, sure. Okay. You know, I would go ahead and just suggest you go ahead and get it digitized into MP3s because if you get them made into playable CDs, then you're going to want to digitize those. And you could probably just have them, you know, put on a hard drive somewhere, and then you can make your own CDs from the hard drive.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've tried the, the converters, and, you know, you just don't get a good reproduction.
So you want somebody who does this professionally, who has a great cassette deck that they can get
there
a really
go.
Good play. What's your favorite cassette? Because I've got a few cassettes myself still.
Well, I've got, when you say favorite, what do you mean?
Well, what's
music?
Yeah, yeah. What's your favorite? You said you've got a collection of cassettes. I'm just curious what maybe.
Well, it's compilations that I've done myself.
Oh, okay, I got you.
So
they're mixtapes. They're mixtapes.
Yes.
Okay.
Mixtapes. Right.
Cool. All right. Well, I bet we'll get an answer for you, Trevor. Maybe not today, but almost certainly next Friday. Okay.
Okay. Cool. I'll listen in.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you.
Line open 800-933-5372. Email. Always open, anything at KERA.org. Vanessa says, if the paint is not eligible for donation, this is on getting rid of old paint, I just take off the lids and set the paint outside in an out-of-the-way, safe place, and once the paint has dried in the can, I pull it out, put it in the trash, and then the can can be put in recycling. All right. Thanks for that. Let's see. On the phones. Let's talk next to, time for a few more calls. Let's talk next to Mary, calling from DeSoto. Hello, Mary.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing great.
I've got a question, and I've also got an answer about the charcoal in the refrigerator.
Okay.
The way the charcoal works is by surface area. So in order to get it most efficient, it needs to be in a crushed form.
Very good.
And my question, I like to do a lot of handy things in the garage. And it's too hot in the summer and too cold in the winter. Has anyone ever successfully air-conditioned and heated a garage?
I'm sure people have, you know, whether or not you have central heat and air in your house?
Yes.
whether or not they've had an extra run added to the AC
system. I would want an extra line.
You would? Okay. Because, you know, there are now portable units that you can install in a wall, or you can, they're not the window units of yesterday, you know, they're kind of.
I need somebody to point me in the direction to get that information.
Well, we'll see if we get some suggestions for you. Probably not today, we're almost out of time, but maybe next week, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Mary.
Remember, the charcoal only works by the surface area, so that's why they crush it in aquariums.
Very good. Thanks for calling, Mary.
Thank you.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. I think we've had, we'll get a couple of questions here lined up. Maybe we'll get answers over the weekend. Rashmi says, I would like to know of a good water-wise, and I guess drought-tolerant, low-maintenance, short native lawn grass for my new home in Lucas, Texas, up near Allen and McKinney, I guess. Rashmi says, I would like to try something other than Bermuda grass. There's, you know, we'll see if we get some suggestions on this. We're going to get the buffalo grass suggestion. And I know there is a resource called, I think it's Native Seed Company in Texas, where you can buy grass mixes, native grass mixes. So you might look them up. And maybe somebody can call us or email us over the weekend or call next week and give us some tips on installing that buffalo grass seed, or what's worked for them. And then we got this question, which I think we've had before, but it's a good one to chew on. Russ in Fort Worth asks, I've always been curious as to if a car is damaged from a rock falling from a rock truck, can the company actually indemnify themselves from liability with their friendly sign that says, you know, not responsible for rocks that fall off the truck. Russ says, this has never actually happened to me, but I'm curious every time I see the sign. I can't absolve myself of responsibility for damaging someone else's property. So can they? Well, that's a good question. And let's see. We got one more email. This is from Therese, who reminds us that the Monk Parakeets of Dallas-Fort Worth have a Facebook page. So you can look them up on Facebook if you're curious about it. And one more from Logan, who reminds us that Lowe's disposes of old paint. And Logan says, I used to work at their return desk, so Logan would know. Well, thanks for spending the hour with us. It's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know, produced by Stephen Becker, engineered by Shelley Canavy. Fiona Norton answers your phone calls. You can always reach out to us with email to anything@kera.org, questions, answers, comments, and suggestions. Check out the podcast, which is produced by Christine McConnell. You can find the last 10 episodes of that at kera.org/anything for click and play or download, or you can subscribe. There's a button at the top of the Anything page. And, of course, I'm Jeff Whittington. You can follow me on Twitter, @JeffWhittington, or you can just tune in next week, where we'll be back with another hour of your questions and answers on Friday at noon. Thanks, everyone, for listening and calling and writing in today, and have a fantastic weekend.